Well, let's begin in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. We'll take a look at Babylon. Probably won't cover it all, but we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Babylon is a good subject. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. We're getting a late start, but whatever, who cares? And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she had made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The word city means a town or city of walls. It also means fullness and to fulfill. It's a Greek word, poutos. And it's false religion. False religion is a walled city. It makes you feel safe. It makes you feel protected. It's not real. It won't work. But that's what false religion does. And we're going to go back in the Bible, and we're going to see where Babylon began, exactly what it is. And we're going to, first of all, if we say it's false religion, I think it's up to us to prove it.
Is it Baltus or Poultus?
P-O-L-I-S, Poultus. And it means a walled city, a walled dwelling place. That's what false religion is, a walled dwelling place. And we'll go to Genesis chapter 10. Let's begin there. We're going to cover a lot of territory, and we may not get it done this evening, but at least we'll give it a shot. And we're going to see the foundation of false religion, or Babylon, or Babel. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 9, before you go there, go to chapter 9, if you will. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, 5, 7. Genesis chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And the fear of you, notice that, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. It's a commandment. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and every fowl of the earth, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fish of the sea, and to your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing, by the way, there goes your global warming and environmentalists right there. We're in charge of the earth. It's not in charge of us. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. I think I'll go out and kill the neighbor's dog. It's a living thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's Bible says I can do that. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, the hand of every beast will I require it, and the hand of every man, and the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. This is the one of the commandments, by the way. Whoever sheds blood, your blood will be shed. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Then once again in verse 7. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. That commandment was broken right back here in chapter 11, if you will. Go to chapter 10, verse 9 first, or 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The word before should mean against. He was a mighty hunter against the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter against the Lord. He was a rebel. He was a rebel against the Lord. Chapter 11, if you will, verse 1. And the whole world was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. They've already disobeyed God, because God said, Replenish the earth and multiply. And they said, Let's gather together, and let's just stay here. And that's Babylon. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Remember what we said the word was for city in Revelation? It means a walled dwelling place. Babylon is really a one-world government and a one-world religion mixed together. It's anti-God and anti-Christ. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be withholden from them which they imagine to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. If you add the word on to the end of Babel, you have Babylon. The word Balo, which is the original word for Babel, means to mix, to fodder, to anoint, temper, to overflow. So Babylon is to mix the Word of God with the lie with the truth, and so forth and so forth. God commanded Noah to fill the earth, replenish it. Nimrod said, no, let's build a tower, let's build a city, we're not going to replenish the earth. He said, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. It's ultimate works. Back up, if you will, to verse 10 here in chapter 10, if you will. And the beginning of his kingdom, that's Nimrod, was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Remember what we said in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 2. They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And that was the beginning of his kingdom. And then God scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth, confounded their language. And notice what it said. Out of that land, Shinar, went forth Asher, and built Nineveh, and Reboth, and so forth. So when God scattered them, they went out of that land, out of Shinar. But they never took the ideology away from them. They still carried the same ideology, which is a one-world religion and a one-world government against God. And we're going to prove that shortly. And it's all founded on Genesis chapter 3, where Satan said, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said, replenish the earth, fill the earth? Yes, he did. Was Satan put it in he put it in Nimrod's mind, but God didn't say that. Let's stay here, build a tower. It's a works righteousness. That's what it amounts to, and it's called Babylon. Now then, let's go, if you will, to let's go to see the end of Nimrod, if you will, and Micah, all the way over here in Micah. Now, Nimrod's already met his end, but this is a type of the end of the Nimrodians, or those with the same ideology. All the way back here in Micah chapter 5. In chapter 5, and we could go through all these verses 1 through 15, but I don't believe we'll do that. But let's go to verse 5, if you will. In chapter 5, verse 5 of Micah, and this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. That's the Assyrian is Satan, who is a type of the Assyrian, which basically is the same thing. Shall come into our land, and he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances of it. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. So God has a plan for Nimrod. Eventually, the Assyria, land of Nimrod, will be completely destroyed. He's in the process of doing that today. Oftentimes in the Bible, you'll see the word Assyria, the Assyrian, the Egyptian, the Persian, or the king of Persia, the king of the... There's all types of Satan. And in this case, the Assyrian is a type of Satan. He's really talking about Satan, the ruler of Assyria. Satan has always been the ruler of all of these nations. And, well, how do we prove that? Easy. Go to Matthew chapter, or actually go to Luke, if you will. chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're really just laying the foundation for Babylon, so I want you to have a good idea of what Babylon is and what it's all about. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days, tempted by the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward was hungry, a hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All the kingdoms of the world.
Now, when he was talking about kingdoms, was he talking about Babylon?
All the kingdoms, absolutely.
Okay.
Every kingdom of the world.
Everything.
Everything. And that included specifically all the major kingdoms.
Right.
All the major kingdoms. At that point in time, Rome was the kingdom.
Right.
But there were all kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world.
Yeah, Satan's dumb because he already knew what the kingdoms were going
to
be.
Yeah, but he had to take a shot, I guess.
Yeah.
And the devil said unto him, All this power or authority will I give thee. Notice what he said. All this power, the power of what power? The power the devil had. He has a lot of power. I will give thee, will I give thee, and the glory of them. Notice this very important rest of this verse. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Did you get that? Satan knows something we don't, doesn't he? Listen to that again. You know, if somebody say, well, Satan isn't in charge of this world, guess again. God has given him charge of this world.
Right.
Of course, he has to answer to God. We know that. But God has given Satan charge of this world. And guess what? This world deserves it.
Yeah.
This world deserves Satan.
Yeah.
But I want you to read that again. And the devil said unto him, All this power, the word is authority, they're both the same thing, really. Will I give thee and the glory of them? Why do you think a politician is a politician? Power and the glory of it. It's right here in the Bible. Power and the glory of it. These people love that power and authority and glory of it. For that is, notice what he said here, delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. And you know what? Jesus didn't rebuke him, did he? He never said, not true, Satan. No, he didn't. And if he didn't rebuke him, then the only thing we can assume is he acknowledged it. And then in John chapter 12, verse 32, I believe it is, he said, And I, when I be lifted up, he said, Now is the prince of this world judged.
Yes.
Satan is the ruler of this world. He was the ruler of Babylon, ancient Babylon. Nothing has changed. He still is. The only thing Jesus said to him in verse 8, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then in verse 12, And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. Remember what he was trying to do. He was trying to test Jesus Christ. Jesus just said to him, Satan, I'm God. Don't test me, buddy. That's basically what he was saying, wasn't it? I'm God, Satan. Don't test the Lord thy God. So anyway, Satan is in charge of this world. There is no doubt about it. And so when we talk about the Babylon of Revelation, we're talking about the final doom of old Satan, and it is coming. Now then, let's go, if you will.
Well, theoretically, God could have destroyed it right then and there.
Oh, yeah, he could have, but God has a plan.
Right, yeah.
And the plan has to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And the plan was written in the Old Testament long before Satan tempted Christ, so we're going to take a look at some of the plan.
Can I read destroyed it, that would have went to people's free will, basically.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, if he would have destroyed him, he would have, God actually would have destroyed his own word.
Right.
Yeah. Because God wrote it, it has to be fulfilled the way he wrote it, and if he'd have destroyed Satan right then and there, he would have disobeyed his own word. Being God, he can't do that. I mean, he could, but he wouldn't. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 13 and 14, if you will. Look at a couple of places there. And did you know that the word Babylon is used almost 150 times in Jeremiah alone? Babylon. So we'll probably take a look at Babylon in Jeremiah. Now, we're going to take a look at something here, but I want you to go to verse 1, chapter 13, Isaiah, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. First of all, it's a burden, which means they're not going to be happy about it. But Babylon, being the ideology, is not really the place. It's the place where Babylon began. But Babylon is always an ideology, and I don't believe it's referred to as a place. When it is, it's stated specifically, whenever it is, that it is Babylon, the place. So when does it take place? The burden of Babylon, lift ye up a banner on high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones, for my anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. So what's he talking about here? Remember what we read in Joel chapter 2, the day of the Lord? Okay, let's read on. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How do we know when this takes place? The next few verses. I want you to look at the next verse. Howl or wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. So when does it take place? The day of the Lord. When is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord lasts for 1,007 years and begins at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. That is the day of the Lord. It's not a day, it's the Lord's day. When the Lord will have his day. I'll have my day. You ever hear anybody say that?
Huh? I thought it was at the end of the millennial reign.
No, the Lord's day is actually when the Lord has his day, his way.
Okay.
And it begins at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'll prove it to you here in just a second, okay? Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. Remember what he's talking about now, the burden of Babylon, the ideology. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain like a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one in another. Their faces shall be as flames. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. When does that take place? The tribulation. The 7-year tribulation. The wrath of God. It's called the day of the Lord. If you read through the Bible, and we'll probably show you that sooner or later, but probably not this evening, but the day of the Lord always also represents the kingdom. Oftentimes, when God talks about his kingdom reign, he calls it the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord is actually 1,007 years. You probably won't hear anybody tell you that, and I'll tell you why. Because they're afraid they might be wrong and they don't want to say it. But that's what it is. Verse 10. Oh, let's read on the rest of this verse 9. With wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. The tribulation. The sinner is destroyed out of the tribulation, and when the tribulation ends, the kingdom begins with nothing but saved. the sinner is destroyed out of it. And, of course, you have the Battle of Armageddon and the judgment of the nations, and all that takes place at the end of the seven-year tribulation. And what's going to happen there? Verse 1, the burden of Babylon. The burden of Babylon. Now, let's read on down. Let's skip some verses, if you will. Well, let's read a couple more, and I want to prove that this is the day of the Lord. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened, it's going forth, the moon shall not cause its light to shine. Same thing we read in Joel chapter 2 and chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You see. And then on down in verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Who? Babylon. But wait a minute. If he's talking about the day of the Lord, he can't be talking about when the Medeans and the Persians conquered Babylon, can he? Can't be the same extent. That's already history. Let's read down to verse 19, if you will. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 20. Now, is he talking about past or present? Let me ask you a question. What is in Babylon today? Iraq. Is it a prosperous kingdom? Well, pretty much, except for the war. Remember when Saddam Hussein had it, he had a lot of glory there. Didn't prosper very much because he was a dictator, complete 100% dictator. But notice the next verse, if you will. God is saying that Babylon shall be completely, completely destroyed. Notice what he says. It shall be overthrown as Sodom and Gomorrah. What did he do? He completely destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Completely destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in verse 20, notice this, if you will. And it shall never be inhabited. Is it inhabited today? Yes. So this has got to be future. When? The day of the Lord. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and wild beasts of the coastlands, and so forth and so forth. Now let's go on down to chapter 14, if you will. Isn't it funny that when God talks about Babylon and the Assyrian, I want you to notice something here, if you will. Let's see. Where do I begin? In chapter 14, verse 4. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Now let me ask you a question. Is he talking about the literal king of Babylon? I don't think so. Going down to verse 12, if you will. If we read from 9 through 11, well, let's read 9, okay? If he's talking about the literal king of Babylon, as you and I look at it, then notice what he said in verse 9. Hell, or Sheol, from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. He's still talking about the king of Babylon, remember? Even all the chief ones in the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, pay attention now, art thou also become as weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to hell, Sheol, and the noise of thy flutes, thy lutes, musical instruments. The worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. Now notice verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So who is the king of Babylon? Lucifer. Babylon, and the king of Babylon, the king of Assyria and so forth, Lucifer. Let's prove that a little more. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 28. And then we'll go to some other places. Ezekiel chapter 28. And I want you to look in verse 12, if you will. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, thou hast been in Eden, so forth. Who's he talking about here? Satan, the devil. What is he calling? The king of Tyre. And then he, notice in verse 14, Thou art the anointed cherub. Well, he can't be the literal king of Tyre, can he? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Satan, you rascal. You're the king of this world, is he not? Yes, he is. Okay, now I want to give you some references. Turn to Isaiah chapter 21, if you will. Eventually we'll get back into Revelation, but we won't have time to do it tonight. Isaiah chapter 21, if you will. Still talking about Babylon. In verse 9, Isaiah 21, verse 9, And behold, there cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, listen to this now, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Babylon is fallen. Hold your place there. Turn over to Revelation chapter 14. Were you? That's good. Yeah. Now, what we started off with. Look in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Remember what we just read. In Isaiah chapter 21, verse 9, God said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven or carved images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What is that? False gods, religion, absolutely. Didn't we just read that in Isaiah, didn't we? Yeah. And then go over, if you will, to Revelation chapter 16, verse 19. Verse 19, Revelation 16, And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Babylon is not a place, it's an ideology. Wherever false religion and world governments and world religions prevail, Babylon is always there. And then let's go to Jeremiah, if you will. We're almost out of time, but we'll go to Jeremiah chapter 51. And we're going to show you one more reference that we'll find in the book of Revelation that goes along with Jeremiah chapter 51. Go to verse 6, if you will. In Jeremiah chapter 51, now chapter 50 and 50 of Jeremiah, we have the doom of Babylon. Babylon is the Greek form of Babel. Babylon, Shinar, Chaldea, they're all synonymous. Well, the reason they're synonymous is because in those countries, in those lands, is where Babylon, false religion, flourished, Babylonianism. Verse 6, if you will. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Well, now, wait a minute. If I literally lived in Babylon, in a house in Babylon, would that have something to do with my soul?
No.
Not if I was saved. If I was a saved, born-again Christian, it would have nothing to do with my soul. Deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. You can't lose your soul or be caught in someone's iniquity in a literal place. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. And then we're going to show you another place in the Bible. But I want you to notice in verse 8, we're going to skip verse 7 and get back to it. Babylon is suddenly fallen. Remember what we just read? Isaiah 21 and Revelation chapter 14. And destroyed. Wail or cry or moan for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. Well, of course she won't. But flee out of the midst of Babylon. Go to Revelation chapter 18, if you will, in verse 4. In verse 4, notice this if you will. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now hold your place and go back to Jeremiah chapter 51. It says exactly the same thing, doesn't it? In different words, but it's exactly the same thing. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, come out of her, my people, and deliver every man his soul. Doesn't it say that you be not partakers of her sins? Every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. It's almost identical, isn't it? Come out of false religion and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying, basically. Babylon is simply false religion. Now back to Jeremiah, if you will, chapter 51. Verse 7, let's read this if you will. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. You know what? I'm not going to give you the verse, but I'll let you look for it. It's in Revelation, and it says exactly the same thing. Actually, there are a couple of verses. I'll give you one verse just to start with in Revelation chapter 18, verse 9. But if you read Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18, both chapters deal with the destruction of Babylon. Verse 9 in Revelation chapter 18, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived, your Bible may say, deliciously, which is a good term, the Schofield says luxuriously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning.
Revelation 17:4.
That's Revelation chapter 18, verse 9.
No, I'm saying Revelation 17:4.
Uh-huh.
It says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, colored decked with gold and precious stones, and pearls having a golden cup, with her hand full of abominations and filthiness.
Yeah, that's good. You found it already. Revelation chapter 17, verse 2 also says the same thing. Might as well read it while we're here. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What is the fornication? False religion. False religion. Okay, I think we'll stop there, because I don't want to really get on to the rest of it until next week. But next week we're going to pick it up again. And we're going to show that Babylon is literally just false religion. And it's pretty interesting, in my opinion, how Isaiah and Jeremiah concur with the book of Revelation almost 100%, isn't it? The day of the Lord, the seven-year tribulation, is when God brings his total destruction on Babylon, not the place, Babylon the ideology. it's false religion began at Babel, began with Nimrod, but it actually began in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan said, yea, hath God said.
Yeah.
It actually began all the way back there. Okay, well, we didn't have to spend too much time, but 45 minutes is good enough, yeah? Yeah, not bad. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close, if you will. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your word and what all it means. It's just amazing what your word says, how it fits together. And we want to thank you for this little church. It's not bad. It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's not a bad church, not a bad location. And we just thank you for it, the opportunity to just to fix it up and use it, and we just thank you for it. Bless those that are here this evening and those who couldn't be. In Christ's name, amen.